AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Day before St. Patrick's Day, Matt Hunter here, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Hunter, if you've not heard the St. Patrick's Day show, because we're not doing a show tomorrow, obviously I'm not coming in on Saturday, but we, of course, for St. Patrick's Day, Dermot and I just talked this. We've done this for 20 years.
Wow.
We get an update from across the Atlantic. Dermot Flanagan is a dear friend of mine. He's a lawyer in the Dublin area. Saggart, actually. He is kind enough to join us to talk about Irish things, European things, St. Patrick's Day things, and, of course, make us sweat and laugh. Hey there, Dermot. How are you, my friend?
Good to talk to you, Matt. Happy weekend. I won't say Patrick's Day just yet.
No, we mentioned it's England-Ireland tomorrow, right? In the Six Nations.
England, Ireland, Six Nations. It's what we call the Grand Slam. If Ireland win tomorrow, they've beaten all of the five other teams and they win the Grand Slam. They've already won the Six Nations. And for anyone listening there, that's rugby, just in case they're wondering.
Has this ever happened before? A team has won out the entire
Yeah, league? No. This would be Ireland's third Grand Slam, but it's 2000 and... four since their last Grand Slam, I think. It's going to be a great game because Ireland beat England to stop them winning the Grand Slam last year. So there's a lot of revenge on the minds of the English team. They're a great team. Probably Ireland and England were the two best teams in it. So it's going to be a great day.
Well, and just the Six Nations, Ireland, England, Scotland, Wales, France. And do you really count Italy on this?
Well, that's an interesting one. Italy's been there for a long time now. It was the Five Nations first, then Italy. They're not really able to perform to any great standard in it. But if you don't have Italy in there, you're not growing the game. Funny enough, it was Romania who were supposed to be the sixth nation, but their union, the rugby union, was just far too corrupt and they fell apart. So Italy took their place. But they're not up to the standard of the other five.
You could bring in Canada, the United States, make it an eight nations. I mean, it would make our rugby a lot better over here, I think, after a few years.
Again, I think I'd love that. But again, in the time space, the Six Nations is squeezed. It's squeezed between the European Cup. That's the largest rugby competition. The Pro 14 and the Premier League. There isn't a lot of time to play it. It's basically carried out from February and it's over by mid-March or the end of March. So to get two other teams, it would be very difficult. Now, a good idea would be for Canada, Italy, and the USA to play to be the sixth nation.
Ooh. Oh, gosh.
That would certainly make it interesting, and at least one of them would have to bring up their game.
Well, I bet you the United States would actually win that. Well, I don't know. Italy, I think, in times can play. Italy can play. All right, well, we'll put that aside because happy St. Patrick's Day to you tomorrow.
And you.
And of course, once again, a very different holiday than what we get here in the United States. You were actually telling, you and I were talking earlier, you ran into someone that you just met where they're going back to France to start their own St. Patrick's Day parade.
Yes, in the city of Cannes, a French lady with no connection to Ireland, never been to Ireland before, decided to fly over to have a look before Patrick's Day because she has spent the year organizing the Cannes Patrick's Day Festival. and in Bilbao, the football stadiums throughout northern Spain, they're being washed with green lights from 7 to 7:30. And I know all over the States you do a fantastic job. Even Putin has a Patrick's Day parade.
Does he?
Mm-hmm. That should be interesting. He does. Anyone who doesn't want one ends up with a little bit of a poisoning trip in London or something. I don't know. But it's everywhere. It's everywhere, and compared to the rest of the world, the Dublin parade, the Irish parades are tiny.
Well, and you and I have talked
about it. You guys have been doing this. You're the first one in 1766 in New York.
Well, in New York, Boston, they're huge. We have a huge one in St. Paul. It's a big one over there. I mean, we even have them in some of our smaller towns. That was one of the first things, you know, obviously – You grow up in a different land. When you discover a new country and you discover the actual culture of that country, there are some things that get torn down. And I mean, I think the you know, as I described yesterday, St. Patrick's Day is much more kind of a cross between Thanksgiving, 4th of July, and New Year's. And it's you know, there's a little bit more of a solemn attitude to it. It sure is not people putting on green antlers and drinking as much green beer as possible. It's nothing like that over there.
Okay. Well, that is the very first time I've heard it described as solemn. I like that.
well, I mean, I tried
it's
to
be... It's solemn on Sunday morning, but I'm not quite sure. I'm not quite sure I'd go that far.
Well, okay, no, better term. Not as brash.
We have no other festival. We don't, in the sense that we don't do the Mardi Gras. We don't have parades throughout the rest of the year in this sense. So it Patrick's Day, it was just a national day started by, I'm going to be honest with you, Irish Americans, and then it found its way back home. So anytime we have off as a result of it is thank you to you.
So, like I said, I think your term is right. It's not solemn. It's more. It's not as brash as the United States. Is that a better way to say it?
Oh yeah, but nothing is as brash as the United States. I mean, you know, everything is bigger, larger, and generally more loud in the States than it is elsewhere.
Well, speaking of that, Donald Trump. And last time we talked to you, obviously, we brought up the fact that Trump and his allies screamed that the world was going to respect us far more than they respected Barack Obama. Last year, we talked about that being a laughingstock of an idea. We now are taking a turn where Trump is starting to get into a little bit more. I mean, it was bad enough that he was kind of ignoring NATO and allies. But now the idea of tariffs being introduced, specifically on steel and aluminum, and how quickly the European Union came back and said, okay, you want to start putting tariffs on things, we can start putting tariffs on things too. What is the idea? I mean, as Trump has been there for a year and now he's starting to talk about this sort of thing, how is the view of Trump from Europe?
Well, I'll tell you, Europe, when you talk about the view of Trump from Europe, you're talking about the Franco-German, if you like, alliance. They're with Brexit, they're running the show in Europe. And they seem to have taken a very hard stance against any possible trade war that Trump would like to start. I think they're calling his bluff on it, to be honest with you. You have to bear in mind that the majority of large American industry corporations have European bases, an awful lot of European bases. And they themselves do not want to move out of Europe. They don't want to move out of what is their second largest market after the US. And some of them, the largest market in Europe. So this talk of trade wars, I don't think France and Germany believe Trump will get away with it. I think they're quite willing to call his bluff all the way through. I mean, they're basically looking at him and say, you've no idea of the world economy. You simply can't become protectionist now. You're not going to be able to introduce these tariffs. You're going to hurt America more than you're going to hurt us. So go ahead. If you want to try, give it a go. You're not going to be allowed to do it. And I think that's the general stance. If you listen to France, Macron, and you listen to Germany, they very much are of the view that, you know, we're sick of trying to convince you. If you want to go and start this, start it. But it's not going to hurt anyone except yourself. And that's the newspapers over here, the social media, the European journals. That's the kind of, if I can say, a layman's translation of their attitude. They don't want it, but they're just not going to cave in.
You know, it does feel as if a lot of Europe and a lot of the world as a whole, I mean, he initially put these out there with Canada and Mexico. Canada and Mexico very quickly said, well, NAFTA says if you start putting tariffs on our steel and aluminum, we can just rip up NAFTA. And so he quickly pulled those off the table. So there's clearly a level of misunderstanding at what he's doing. In a simpleton's idea of international trade and how this all works. And there's also this kind of false American conservative bravado of I'm going to embody Reagan by basically going over there and telling Gorbachev to tear down this wall and people kind of thinking you can just do that sort of thing. I can go and say to Belgium, you're going to take more of our cars and like it. And like Belgium's going to be like, oh, okay, sorry, sir. I mean, that's just not how the world works.
No, they basically, Trump has a very simplistic view of the world economy. His view seems to think that, well, look, we'll put up our protective tariffs, we'll put up our walls, but you'll still want our goods. Nobody benefits more from world trade than America. How the money, when it gets back to America, is distributed, I think, is a big issue. And that's a different issue altogether at home, like every other country. But it is the American multinationals who are, I suppose, controlling most economies quite well. I mean, we're delighted with them. And I think most of Europe are delighted to have them. So the idea that you can suddenly pull your horns in and drag everybody home and they'd still be able to control the markets that they control from a solely American base is completely unheard of. I mean, it can't be done. And this notion that this simplistic view of the world economy that Trump has, it just can't translate into reality. A lot of what he says makes sense if you can find somebody else to translate it into reality. Now, I understand his concerns if he holds them genuinely, but certainly the people who support him, I understand their concerns.
Well, and like I said, it's a simpleton's mentality, you know. Yeah, in the world, you can just do this, but the reality is it doesn't work that way, and everyone's kind of looking. I mean, especially our ag markets are terrified because they need the international trade to sustain the ag economics. And so, you know, go ahead.
That's a huge one. That's a massive market, and agriculture everywhere is under threat, literally. To keep the level of quality of food up, Europe has to keep certain standards. If Britain does Brexit, if it does actually leave, the concern is they'll flood Britain with lower quality, cheaper standard food. America would have the same concerns. If borders start going up everywhere, I'd just like to see what the Midwest would look like after a year or two of that. I just don't think it can work for him. I mean, I'm not all anti-Trump. I think it's nice to hear a voice like his speak openly and say things that make people feel very uncomfortable. But I'm just not sure that he has a grip on reality when it comes to running a country. Well, running the country, so to speak.
Well, I mean, I get what you're saying, but it's like the Brexit guys. You know, there is. When FDR came into office, you know, back when the Great Depression was going on, he really brought with him a complete new bag of tricks and was doing things that no one ever dreamed the federal government would ever do, and it ended up being wildly successful. But that was because he was really intelligent and he was really smart, and he surrounded himself with smart people to be able to pull that off. You know, it's like Brexit.
But it was a different world. It was the simple fact is that the economy have outgrown the government. It's business, the business run by themselves. The best the government can do is regulate them. They simply can't control them. The economy has just outmoved that generation, that era. I mean, look, everything from online sales through to how swiftly you can move your workforce or move your head office or simply operate out of a building one day in Hong Kong and the next day in New York. You can't put walls around that kind of business. You can only regulate it. And the only way you can regulate it is if we're all working together. Nobody will benefit from lone wolves trying to regulate by themselves, you know? And that's our view.
Well, and let me ask you this. I mean, it's one of the things I think has been really, from the international stuff I've read, the argument is that, you know, Europe had gotten lulled into this false sense of security, that America was always going to be this safe country, a safe government, and was always going to be a safe market. And that there have been some writings which have implied that this has been good because, you know, Europe and the European Union and the European countries individually, they need to be, understand that, you know, they have to have a much different worldview versus what has been in the past. Would you agree with that? Would you say that this has been a good wake-up call that they have to change their mentality in the world as it is today?
I don't actually. I can almost guess the writers you've been reading. You should read more Chomsky, less of those. But I think that Europe was never looking at America and considering it a safe market, because if you look at the history of American economics, you've always had these waves of protectionism, then open economy, then protectionism, then open economy. Then you had Reagan economics, which is basically let's take our hands off everything and just see how it flies. But they've always, if you like, looked to America for how an open world economy should run, as opposed to saying looking to it as safe. They said, well, look, that's how an open world economy should run. That's where the leadership comes from. They're the ones who developed the world economy, the open world economy, because they wanted their industries to step outside America and come over and succeed in Europe and control economies and markets in Europe and that. And that's so America was the leader. What they're probably doing now, looking and saying for the next few years, do we have a leader in Washington? Mm-hmm. of a world economy. And they're thinking to themselves, maybe we don't. So maybe we have to start leading the world economy ourselves. And France and Germany, that Franco-German pact is back, you know. See how that worked out in history. But, you know, so they probably see that if it's an opportunity, what they see is, well, if we're not getting leadership from Washington, we better step up to the plate. That could have changing results, you know.
The man can't control a porn star payout, let alone, the complexities of international trade. Let's take a break.
Well, I don't know if you've ever tried to make a porn star payout, but I imagine it's in a lot of dollars.
Well, it is, but if you can screw it up, I got a template here on what not to do in that. We'll talk. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about how things in life in Ireland, and we'll get prepared for St. Patrick's Day. Dermot Flanagan joining us from Saggart in Ireland, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is All Digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Moe's Tax Service, family-owned and operated since 1971, providing a full spectrum of tax preparation and associated services. Think about it. Why would you take your most important financial information to a franchise operation with a cheap basic package that goes up dramatically once you're in the door? You can find out all you need to know about Moe's by visiting www.moestax.com. That's M-O-H-S-Tax.com. Or call them at 612-721-2026. Don't be a blockhead. Go to the professionals at Moe's Tax Service.
Hi, this is Paul Metza, inviting you to listen to the Wall of Power Radio Hour every weekend on AM 950. We are now in our third year of broadcasting on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. MinPost has called us one of the 22 most independently entertaining and cool radio shows in the Twin Cities. We feature cool people from all walks of life and from all 50 states every Saturday at 6 p.m., replayed Sunday at 4 p.m. on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Dermot Flanagan joining us. It's the annual St. Patrick's Day show as we're getting an update on life in Ireland and their perspective of us over here. You got into, Dermot, last year we talked about this. You got into, what is the breed of dog exactly that you've been working with?
An Irish Water Spaniel. That's an interesting topic of conversation.
Well, I got to tell you the truth. You said something today, which I actually was pretty astounded by. This is you've kind of worked to save the breed, correct?
Correct. Yeah, it was an endangered Irish breed, the oldest Irish breed, and it was pretty much extinct, but we brought it back. There's about a few hundred of them in Ireland now, and they're around the world. They're in Minneapolis. Not far from you, so that's an interesting one to bring up. Well, your listeners will be googling Irish Water Spaniel now, going, "What the hell is that?"
Well, it's a beautiful dog, and what you've done, you've kept them. They're not available in the United States. You basically are just keeping them there in Ireland, correct?
No, they're in the United States. Okay. Very few, some great people. some great people. A couple of them there in Minneapolis, actually.
Okay.
New York and a few other places. If you've a dog lover listening to the show and they Google it, I guarantee you they'll want to see one.
Okay. Well, it is Minnesota. We got a few dog lovers over there. So, of course, Ireland, we have talked on over the 20 years. We went from a time when Ireland was seeing the greatest economy it had ever seen to the Irish economy imploded with the rest of the world. And now, where is the Irish economy at right now?
Thankfully, back strong. We're you'll be familiar with perfect employment. You know, it's about 6% in the case of a country of our size. Perfect unemployment figures, where 6% are not working, the remainder are. We've gone beyond that now to a point where we need to bring workers back into the country. We're looking for immigrants again. So in an 8-year period where it was devastation, it's gone back to pretty much the workforce or the employers needing to find labor.
It's
a complete turnaround.
Well, I remember you were telling me, was it Brazilians? You guys had tons of Brazilians there at one point. Did all those people just go back to their own country and now?
Look, they're still here. Brazilian, very, very, very big community here. We have just about 250,000 Eastern Europeans, which I know it doesn't seem a lot in American terms, but you're talking about a country of 5 million people. They're all excellent. They've stayed here. They're in the schools here. Their children are in schools with my children, and they've become the new Irish. The Eastern Europeans would be the greater part of the new Irish. But then you have Congolese, Nigerian, Middle Eastern. A lot of we'd have an affinity for the Palestinians. So there's a lot of Palestinians who have come in over the last 8, 10, and even 15 years. It's completely changed from when you were here, Matt.
Well, are there a lot of, I'll ask the question, are a lot of Americans, U.S. citizens immigrating back to Ireland?
I don't know. I had a German client recently come in to me and he was saying he has 8 of his friends moved from Germany in the last 10 years and they're all living here, set up companies, doing very well. And of his company, he had 4 full-time American employees. He just made that point. And they were living here. So it's hard to tell if a lot of American Irish have returned home. My generation that emigrated to America, they'd be my age, so 47. I haven't seen many of my friends who left after university come home. Mm-hmm. Probably because they're doing quite well. You know, they would have gone to America in quite good jobs and good employment as professionals. So they probably, that type, it'd be hard to entice them home.
It's a very different type of what success is. I mean, I've seen what success is over there. I've seen it here. I find, you know, just this, what, you know, success in Ireland is just an amazingly wonderful thing. And I, you know, maybe it's because it's not normal for me. There's such a draw and appeal to that. But I can see that the other way around. You come here and as you and I were talking about the amount of land we have in this country, the amount of distance we have, the things you can see, it becomes very addictive to come to the United States. That's for sure.
It does. I don't know if you saw the recent stats. Ireland was voted 14th happiest place in the world to live. Mm-hmm. And that's because the other 13 lied.
Well, those Scandinavians are so quiet, you don't know what's really going on there.
Yeah. Norway became first. I mean, where did they even find someone in Norway to talk to at this time of year? They're hibernating. I mean, have you gone to Norway or have you met them? They make accountants look interesting, and that's meant to be that's the happiest place in the world to live, apparently.
Well, if you get excited by staring at snow, you know, there you go. You're the happiest people. We're 18, by
unless the way. Unless that's not snow, it's not the happiest place in the world to live.
We are 18. We've actually dropped down to number 18 in the world, so we are now trailing you guys by 4 spots as happiest place on the planet.
Oh, I didn't actually look to see where. I just assumed that Donald Trump has said we don't want to be on it. We make our own. But it's number 18.
Well, you know Trump and 18-year-olds. that's the whole concept there. So,
what do you think of our new Taoiseach visiting America and a first for everything? He's a first. gay Taoiseach, our first, he's engaged, so we were the first, you know, to do the gay marriage over in Europe to legalize it properly. He's over in Washington now meeting someone like your vice president. How do you think he'll get on?
Oh, I think he's going to ignore the vice president, as most people do. I thought it was funny when
he met him. He had breakfast.
Well, did Trump, you know, or did Pence go screaming from the room?
Well, for the first time in the history of all the meetings, and Patrick, Pence wouldn't allow the media in. It was always a televised breakfast meeting, but he decided not to let the media in.
No. I love how the president looked at your leader and said, how about the golfing? Because if you're Irish, you all golf, obviously. He's like, don't golf at all. And Trump, like, could not believe it.
Yeah, and you know what? But in fairness to Trump, he probably picked the only man in Ireland that doesn't golf.
No.
You know, I mean, I thought that – I actually felt sorry for Trump, because if that was me and I was Trump, I would have turned to him and said, who did you send over here? Yeah. I mean, that line would have worked on anyone else in Ireland, and you arrived.
Yeah.
You know, because now, our Taoiseach, he does a lot of triathlons and adventure races and that. He's a very fit guy, so he'd probably find golf a bit passive. But you know, you gotta be fair to Trump. He had a right to expect a yes to that one.
You guys went the Justin Trudeau route then, a physically fit specimen, you know, kind of that new generation. We decided to go back to the 1880s in this country.
Yeah, no, we ticked all the boxes. We got the whole metrosexual, proper food eating, professionally qualified medical doctor. He's not a great politician, by the way, but you know, we got everything else. Not very good at running the country, but you know, he ticks all the boxes elsewhere.
What are you going to do? What is your agenda for tomorrow besides watching obviously Ireland, England?
Every year you phone, we have this rugby on, and I say to you that my priority is the rugby. I mean, live, eat, dream the rugby. What I love to do is I'll either get on the computer or the TV for about an hour and just check all the parades around the world, and then I'll go out. I'll go and join the few friends I have left somewhere for some nectar and take it from there.
We will be painting our entire country green for a day. We're going to go out and have some friends. What are you going to do to celebrate our country? Oh yeah, we're going to basically turn the entire country green. So we're going to be in the process of that.
Well, I've gone past doing new stuff on Paddy's Day. Last year was the last time I did that. I think I took a bus for the first time.
Where'd you take it to?
I don't know. I could barely drive it at the time.
Oh, well, God.
But I don't know what time we arrived home at, but that was interesting. No, I'm getting too old.
I walked right into that one. I walked right into the prop of that plane.
You did. Yeah. No, but no, I don't know. Tomorrow, one of the best things you could possibly do is just pop around to Dublin. There'll be very few Irish in there because we're used to the parade, but it's swollen with people from other countries, and it's great fun. You just go into one of the many trad sessions, go into one of the many live bands, go into one of the food courts that are set up around the town, and it is great fun. I mean, it's the one time it's turned into a festival. And Dublin, you know, it does festivals very well. If any of your listeners have a chance to come over to it, and they probably have, because we noticed yesterday there's a huge uptake in the amount of Americans that came over this year. They haven't been coming for the last number of years in such good numbers. The economies haven't been great, but my God, they're over again this year. And it really is a great town on Patrick's weekend. It's there's a lot of sporting events on. Our hurling, that you know, our Gaelic football, our rugby, it's all on this weekend. It's a great town for Patrick's weekend. It really is.
And I highly recommend, and this is free endorsement for Tourism Ireland. If you get out there, the weekend festivals, the weekend events, not just in Dublin, but across the country, it's amazing. Wonderful food, great Guinness, incredible landscapes that are, you can't think it's as green as everyone says it is. It is, and it's just spectacularly gorgeous. So I highly encourage everyone to go on out and visit. Maybe not during St. Patrick's Day if you want to avoid the big crowds, but still, there's always something going on in Ireland.
Yeah, get out around the smaller towns. It's much more fun. And you know, everyone's always welcome. I mean that sincerely. It's great to see everybody over. We're very lucky, the amount of people who take the time to come over. It really is. It's in Galway, when I was down in Galway yesterday, I saw them preparing the floats and the banners and the parades, and they were from everywhere. I think every state almost in the US was represented in the Galway parade, and that's not just, you know, imagine the ones that are in Dublin.
Yeah.
And then they had, they were there from South America, they were there from all of Europe. Bilbao sent over a huge contingent from it's not, I'd say, a third of the size of the parades that go through some of the American cities, but having it here, it just feels a little bit fresher, you know. There's something good about it.
Happy St.
We'd like to have you over.
Oh, I'm going to be coming back over here before too much longer, because I love that country. Happy St. Patrick's Day to Helen and the kids and to yourself. Dermot, thank you very much. I appreciate the update from across the Atlantic, and all my best. Happy St. Patrick's Day, my friend.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to the Twin Cities. I love those cities. Take care.
Dermot Flanagan, lawyer from the Dublin area, Sagard, actually, kind enough to join us today to talk about St. Patrick's Day. We'll take a break. We're running really late. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Find your place in a community you'll love on the Parade of Homes. Don't miss the Green Path Energy Efficiency Tour, sponsored by XL Energy. Free guidebooks at holiday and online at paradeofhomes.org. Sponsored by U.S. Bank. Parade of Homes, where dream homes come true. Paradeofhomes.org.
I'm Lori Fitz from Connections Radio Show. And on March 17th from 9 to 10 a.m., I'll be having our longtime friend to AM 950, Ian Levitt. Ian is now the producer and owner of Studio Americana. We'll be talking about how podcasting has become an incredibly powerful tool for communication and thought leadership. Learn about his upcoming workshop hosted at Studio Americana, taking place on March 22nd. Listen in and get connected on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Tap Taste and Treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Drivers on their cell phones are a serious problem on our roadways. Whether you're talking or texting, cellular use is a major distraction. Please be responsible and put down your phone while driving. This reminder, courtesy of Bass Lake Inn in Spooner, serving you with quality and pride. Give them a call today at 715-635-6527. That's 715-635-6527. Bass Lake Inn values your patronage and is looking forward to serving you.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Haas. Today, mostly sunny with a high near 41. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 22. And Saturday, sunny with a high near 48. Check out the brand new store called Ambibulous. Ambibulous means one who enjoys alcoholic beverages of all sorts. Located at 949 Hennepin Avenue East in Northeast Minneapolis. Ambibulous, selling only craft beer, wine, and spirits made in Minnesota.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Thanks to Dermot there. I think I already know I'm going to get a few people that are like, wait a minute here. He didn't completely say it was horrible. And as a matter of fact, said that, you know, some things about Trump he likes because he's on the cuff. That's exactly how Trump got elected, is because he said things that were very different than what were said before. The problem is, and this is one thing for Dermot, I mean, and he was quite, he was quite negative on Trump and the fact that he said he's got such a simpleton's mentality, and that if he thinks he can just force his opinion and force his will upon the rest of the world, that's not going to happen. But, you know, it's one of those things, too, where I'll say when you are in the United States and you see the brevity and the vastness of the incompetency of his administration, from ripping apart national parks to dig oil to opening up all the waters around the coastal waterways to the incompetency of the education department, the incompetency of his entire administration, I'm convinced. I mean, after some of the things from last night, I'm actually somewhat convinced he's going to start a war. He's looking to start a war before the next election because he thinks that's what's going to save the Republican Party, is a war with either Iran or North Korea. North Korea less likely, but I'm dead serious. I think that that's where he's going to go with this. And you know, so it's when you're immersed in it every day, you realize the crap fest that we're in. And, you know, but I think that, you know, to tell the truth, I think that Dermot basically highlights the fact that there are a lot of people that just do not like the idea of here are two candidates and these are them. And so anything that looks different is what's appealing. And frankly, you wouldn't be able to pull that off with the Democrats. You could easily pull that off with the Republicans. I got a great story to share about that coming up here in just a little bit, because it does highlight how, you know, how the Republicans are far easier to manipulate. Republican voters are. Programming brought to you by EatLocalMinnesota.com. Restaurant of the Week, Our Kitchen. Fantastic place. 36th Avenue between Aldrich and Bryant. For 76 years, been down there making great breakfast. They're open this weekend, 7 to 2, both Saturday and Sunday. Stop by. Top 5 breakfast in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Easy. Easy. A more at EatLocalMinnesota.com. 952-946-6205. Yeah, as a matter of fact, let me bring up the fact that in Oklahoma, I don't know if you've seen, there's a story on Yahoo about Oklahoma. Oklahoma is in a mess right now. I mean, it is an absolute fiscal mess because they did the same exact thing as, you know what happened in Wisconsin, what happened in Louisiana, what happened in Kansas, where they went in and in 2010, because all the Democrats decided to stay at home and not vote, they got massive controls and they went in and they put in hypothetical conservative tax policy. They didn't really know what was going to happen, but they used these states as test tubes, basically, to see what would grow when they got all this in there. Oklahoma is just the latest problem there. Oklahoma's woes offer the ultimate cautionary tale for other states considering trickle-down economic reforms. The outlook is so grim that some Republicans are willing to consider the ultimate hearsay, raising taxes to fund education and healthcare, an idea that was once the exclusive providence of the Democrats. Without new recurring revenue, we can't fix these problems, said, I think it's Senator Osborne from Oklahoma, who was ousted as chairwoman of the House, representative of the House Appropriations and Budget Committee. She was ousted because she started saying the only way we're going to get our way out of this is by tax increases. Governor Mary Fallon and GOP leaders have been unable to reverse course because of a constitutional quirk that says any tax increase needs a 3/4 majority vote of the legislature. Despite broad GOP support for tax hikes, a small number of fiercely anti-tax Republicans have joined with the minority Democrats to derail attempts to raise revenue. Democrats complain most of the tax breaks target the poor. And that's what they're going to do. I mean, once again, what Republicans did in Kansas and in Wisconsin and in Louisiana and in Oklahoma, before they even touched the budget, they went in there and gave all the money back to the corporations, all the money back to the wealthiest Oklahomans, and then basically said, now we're going to balance the budget. Well, you just took away 2/3 of your revenue stream. Good luck. Well, and now you got what's going on in Oklahoma. Rural hospitals are closing. You've got teachers are talking about going on strike because they haven't gotten a raise in 10 years and they're getting paid barely anything. And it is a mess. It is an absolute mess. But the thing which it's got to change, and this goes back to what I was talking about Dermot and why people looked at Trump and looked at him as appealing, is because if you don't know better about these things, they are easily manipulated. And in Oklahoma right now, there are people who are saying in the same breath, I can't stand the fact that my local hospital just closed and now I got to drive an hour to get medical care, followed immediately by, aren't the Republicans great? You can't have both of those. If you are upset about your local hospital closing, you need to look at your Republican representation that has done that to you. If you're wondering why you basically don't have money to pay your bills, you can't look at the Democrats, because the Democrats had nothing to do with this. And even in Kansas, they're frantically trying to find money and raise taxes over there. But they're refusing to do it because you have a handful of zealots, because this was by design. Just like in Oklahoma, you need a three-quarters majority to raise taxes. Well, and they tried it in California, but they blew that apart because they were able to get so many Democrats in office in California. But, you know, they've tried to put these rules into place where it's virtually impossible to get these taxes raised, to get revenue, to get the states running, because just enough far-right loonball Republicans are there to prevent enough of a majority to get this stuff done. In Wisconsin, people make $10,000 less a year than they did when Scott Walker came into office. The Republicans have been in charge the entire time in Wisconsin. The entire time. The Republicans have been in charge in Wisconsin. And their money's down. But how many times? They're like, I can't understand why I'm not making any money. Followed immediately by, aren't the Republicans great? This is how you get, you have a group of people who are easily manipulated by a system which allows a bloviated orange clown to run. And because the policy of the right is to hurt the constituents, to allow them to do more and more things as long as they keep blaming the other side for the Republicans' actions, a guy like Trump can come in and take control. And right now, that entire White House is an absolute mess. I mean, that White House is an absolute freaking mess. And, you know, everyone that seems to be in there is just now a personality from a cable news network who Trump thinks is a good person. And it's scary. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's take a little bit of an early break here. Get caught back up. We'll take your phone calls as well. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Oh no, you shattered your cell phone. Now what? Listen closely. We know you're lost without your phone. Bring it to Computer Revolution today. We'll fix it and have you back online before someone asks, where are you? Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair has over 18 years experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones, same day, 7 days a week.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. My first Toyota love was the RAV4 back in 1998. When I was traveling in February, I needed a rental car, and I jumped at the opportunity to drive one again. The RAV4 is fantastic with all the bells and whistles you need, and it has all the modern safety features to keep us safe, comfort as we vacationed. It fit all five of us and our luggage with ease. I was able to revisit my first love. Now, you can fall in love for yourself by test driving a RAV4 today at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169.
Warning. Last year, over 40,000 Americans died in car-related accidents. Not a pleasant thought, is it? In fact, as thoughts go, it's downright depressing. Well, that's where we can help cheer you up. We're StandUpRecords.com, and we offer the finest in CDs, DVDs, downloads, and merchandise from the best comedians on earth. Artists like Marc Maron, Maria Bamford, Eddie Pepitone, and Doug Stanhope. Available at fine record stores, Amazon.com, and the iTunes Music Store. That's StandUpRecords.com. Come on, listen to us while you're driving. Live dangerously.
Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul is a perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week, offering daily fresh seafood specials, fire-roasted meats, exquisite pizza, and half-price bottles of wine on Mondays and Tuesdays, except on Xcel Energy Center event nights. Once you experience their cozy fireside dining, extensive wine list, and bar, you'll be back for more. Gift certificates available, located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking, or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Kevin Ross here, inviting you to our brand new store called Ambibulous. What does Ambibulous mean? It means one who enjoys alcoholic beverages of all sorts. Ambibulous is a Minnesota maker's market. Unlike traditional liquor stores, we feature only craft beer, wine, and spirits made here in Minnesota. We are ready to guide your selections, where you can build your own four or six packs. Find us at 949 Hennepin Avenue East in Northeast Minneapolis or online at ambibulousmn.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. You know one thing, Hunter, that he did, that Dermot did say that I think was one of the best things I've heard him say?
What?
He's one of the first people I think that understands what a trade war would do to the Midwest and the ag sector.
Yeah, that's true.
It would absolutely cavitate the upper Midwest. It would, you know, as he says, I mean, here's a guy in Ireland that seems to have a better grasp on this than anyone in Wall Street does. A trade war, I shudder to think what Omaha, Des Moines, Topeka, Kansas City, St. Louis, Minneapolis, St. Paul. I shudder to think what a major trade war would do to those agricultural communities. I really do. We'll spotlight Dermot Flanagan a little bit later on. We're going to put him in, of course, for St. Patrick's Day. You know, Hunter, it is Friday. It is Lent. We have not discussed Fish Fry Friday.
What's your plan tonight?
Pox Christi, Don Eden Prairie.
Mm-hmm.
That's my regular church. I'm heading on down there. Sounds fantastic. That's where I'm going. I've been trying to hit as many of these fish fries as I can because this is one of the best parts about being Catholic is Friday fish fries during Lent. I love this. So that's where I'm heading. See you down there in Eden Prairie. Go visit a great church. I tell you what, you're going to have a good meal. Find a church that's doing a Fish Fry Friday, and you'll have a great meal. You will not be sorry. Like I said, the fish tacos last weekend down at St. Gabriel's. I don't know if they're doing that again this week. I don't think so. I think they're done. But, wow. I mean, there are some real gems out there. Real gems. So I'll be happy and eating my fish here in just about 2 hours.
Lucky you.
Indeed. Gary is in Minneapolis. Welcome on in, Gear Bear.
Yeah, I just want to talk, you know, how the system has been rigged so badly with the Republicans doing that. It's made the Democrats more less effective, too. I'll give you some examples. Reagan pretty much pulverized the unions, so then the DLC came along, and Clinton worked with the Republicans. Most of the Democrats were against NAFTA, and then here we got Trump years later using that against us when that was their party's deal, the trade deals. And then that Citizens United and corporations are people, money is speech, all that stuff. That they, the whole system so damn greedy that the Democrats have to work in this greedy system so they can't be as effective as they were, 40, 50 years ago.
No, I would agree with that, Gary. Thank you, Gary, and happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Tomorrow, that is tomorrow. We've got a system right now that is grossly unfair. And, yeah, it's like I said, the view from here, it is nice to actually talk to someone who is not in the United States and get the perspective because, you know, it does reaffirm for me that, you know, dear Lord, I mean, just the constant barrage of things that are going on, we have to change in this country. Dermot's point about, you know, that governments, the corporations control the governments now, I thought was also another spot on point he made, that we have made corporations who don't fear the government, who can control the regulations. I mean, it's like he said, it's like the worst that they can do is regulate them. But frankly, none of these corporations control the people that write the regulations. So they're unregulated. And then when they collapse, what do they demand? They demand us, the taxpayers, give them money because if the company completely collapses, they don't get their Christmas bonuses. And so we as taxpayers end up shoveling tons of money into their coffers so that their executive class can get their massive bonuses and never have to say thank you and never have to say appreciate it and never have to pay the money back. It is a disgusting system. It really is. Two things I want to just briefly mention here before we end the show. There's this horrible story of this bridge collapse down at Florida International University. Is that where it is?
Yeah, I heard about this.
The company that built that bridge, it's up to 6 dead now, and they're expecting the number actually to rise. So, yeah, a very terrifying thing. The company that built that bridge built the new 35W bridge after that bridge collapsed.
Oh, wow.
Now, the people in Minnesota have said that they are sending people out to inspect it every 2 years. Can I ask you guys a favor? Can someone get over there with a headlight and a notepad and start looking at the thing again right now, because my experience has been in cases like this that generally cutting corners, if the bridge collapsed because they cut corners and it was a failed design, generally that's not the only time or the first time they have cut corners or had a failed design. And I would just, I'm not saying the bridge on 35W is bad, but I think considering what just happened and how many people just died, and that, my God, I still have nightmares about what happened on with that bridge when, you know, it just, you know, all those cars went plunging into the Mississippi River. Can we get someone over there to check that place out and take a look at it? I'd really appreciate it. I think most people in Minneapolis, St. Paul would appreciate it as well. And then the last note I wanted to get to today is I have noticed an interesting trend from my religious right evangelical Trump supporters. They're now all posting the same thing. Jesus tells us to forgive. Jesus tells us to forgive and to be kind and love our neighbor. Really? Well, that's interesting. All these quotes that they're now starting to bring out about the Bible, about kindness, forgiveness, loving thy neighbor, that sort of thing. None of those quotes were ever quoted by these guys during the Obama administration. There was no forgiveness. There was no kindness during that administration, even on the stuff they made up to vilify Obama. And they made up a lot of stuff to vilify Obama. But all of a sudden, it's like all these conservative friends of mine are all of a sudden posting all these, isn't it? Jesus tells us to forgive. You know why, right? Stormy Daniels, the 60 Minutes interview. The 60 Minutes interview with Stormy Daniels.
Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly. That is the reason why they are, they already know that they have basically, they bought the spoiled melon from the market. They know it looked a little off when they purchased it. Now they've cut it open and realized it's spoiled rotten. And as opposed to admit they were wrong, what they're trying to say is something to the effect of, well, we forgive the market for selling this to us. No, guys, no. He's corrupt and rotten. Your evangelical second coming of Jesus was sleeping with a porn star in the days after his wife gave birth to their child. And not only that, but there's good evidence that he was sleeping with a Playboy playmate at the same time and then tried to pay her off to keep her quiet. And now we've actually heard that someone within the Trump administration or in the Trump inner circle threatened physical violence against Stormy Daniels if she went out and told this. And I would love to hear that story. The reality is that your guy is horrible. And this is not me throwing your religion under the bus. This is me having listened to you guys throw your own religion under the bus, reminding you threw your own religion under the bus, okay? When your religion became about hatred, became about vilification, became about not forgiving, not being kind, not loving thy neighbor, when you did that, that's when you undermined your own argument. You now all of a sudden trying to find the high ground. I got news for you. You're in the Mariana Trench, okay? There is no high ground for you. Hey, at least I've been consistent. Have a wonderful St. Patrick's Day. Really, truly do. Enjoy a fish fry tonight. We are back on a Monday. Mike McAtee is up next. Till Monday. See ya.